All right, we'll say good evening. Good evening. Let's begin. So we're continuing Meretz Hashem. Tonight we're going to focus a lot on the halachos of Chazara. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So last week we spoke about the concept of Shehiya, of maintaining food on an open flame, and the concept of Gzir Shem Yechate, concern that one may come to go ahead and stoke or adjust the heat source, and thereby again violate the potential issue of Bishul and Havara. So that's what we spoke about. As we spoke about last week, we also spoke about the idea that the way to avoid that ultimately again is through Grufa and Kituma, just Chazara. What I wanted to point out, I didn't get to this last week, but one of the other ways in which we are able to go ahead and avoid the issues of Shem Yechate is in number one. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. He says, Kira, Shiasui ke kedera v'shof sana pia kedera l'malo, im huska begefesh shi psola shal zesim o be'itzim, asru litin ala tavshum ba'od yom la'shos ala. So far, number one, this is just the same exact lashon that we had last week. Right, this same exact idea that you can't maintain food on an open flame with a manipulable or changeable and alterable heat source, because of a concern that you may come to adjust the heat source in order to accelerate the cooking process. Now again, unless of course the food is fully cooked, fine, skip down a little bit. Second to last line. Oh, shahaya chai shlonis bashal klav. So this is an interesting idea. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. One of the ways in which one could avoid the issue of Shem Yechata, that one may come to adjust the heat source, is by putting up raw food immediately before Shabbos. Right? If the food is raw, then ultimately, again, there is no concern that halach l'maisa, one is going to adjust the heat source. What's the logic behind that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, the kevan shu chai masiach daito mimena ad l'machar. Because since it's raw, a person is not really paying any attention to it until tomorrow. And the entire night, it has the ability to go ahead and cook without being stoked. So let's just take a step back. The entire issue, as we saw, of maintaining food on an open flame is a concern that you may come to manipulate the flame itself. You may come to manipulate the heat source, right? In order to accelerate the cooking process. Now, our assumption over here is we're accelerating the cooking process for what purpose? In order to be able to eat it Friday night. So the Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, if you put raw food up right before Shabbos, the assumption is that food is not going to be ready for your Friday night meal. So because it's not going to be ready for your Friday night meal, therefore it obviates the concern that you may come to adjust or to manipulate the heat source. Heat source in order to hasten the cooking process. So this is the heter called Kedera Chaisa. Now, truly, we'll say most contemporary poskim say this doesn't really apply anymore today, because with modern day cooking, you could cook things in a relatively fast amount of time, right? Interestingly enough, the only time maybe it applies is in a crock pot. Because since a crock pot, we'll talk about this again, we'll talk about crock pots and what exactly a crock pot is. Is it a covered fire? Is it an uncovered fire? But if you assume for a moment that the crock pot is an uncovered fire, let's even make that assumption for just a moment. If the crock pot is an uncovered fire, that would really mean that in order to go ahead and keep your challenge on the crock pot, it would have to be at least like Michael Ben Jerusai, at least the third cook at the onset of Shabbos. Let's say my child is not a third cook at the onset of Shabbos, so what do I do? What do I do? I can't maintain it on an open flame. So what you could do is drop in a raw piece of meat right before Shabbos. If you were to drop in a raw piece of meat, then it becomes Kedera Chaisa. Whenever there's raw food that obviates the concern of Shem Yechata, again, you couldn't really do this on a regular flame, because on a regular flame, you could really cook a lot faster. But in a crock pot, which is designed to be a slow cooker, so ultimately, again, this heter of Kedera Chaisa does apply. Okay, so just an interesting idea. In general, we're going to see that halach lamaisa, we really avoid using open flames. In other words, we've spoken about, so, you know, technically speaking, if you have food that is fully cooked, you could put it on the fire on Erev Shabbos and allow it to remain there into Shabbos. Practically speaking, we don't do this. Right, we do not use uncovered flames on Shabbos, only covered flames. But whatever, sometimes maybe a person is stuck or sometimes there's a difficult circumstance, yes.
So you're running close to Shabbos, and then you put the raw meat and then put the challah up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So as opposed to putting it up.
Oh, no. To be clear, yeah. You could put the challah up right before Shabbos. That's totally fine, because then the entire challah is raw.
Right.
That's fine.
So the third
Essentially, if you want to maintain food on an open flame, either what it has to be is fully cooked or raw, right? In the middle is where it becomes a bit more complicated. So for example, a lot of this, we're going to talk about crock pots really more next week. Or maybe we'll get to a little bit this week. There's a whole discussion in terms of what is a crock pot. Is a crock pot considered to be a covered flame or an uncovered flame? So obviously that has dramatic ramifications for all of this. But technically speaking, if let's say a person is not sure if they're what level of cooked kite their chalent has reached before Shabbos, dropping in a raw piece of meat just takes care of all of your concerns. Or for that matter, putting up your chalent right before Shabbos is also technically okay. Okay, now what? I'm sorry? We're talking about crock pot.
Right, not a regular
pot.
On an open flame.
Not on an open pot, on an open flame?
Notice you said because the crock pot is a different category than a
regular. Right, correct. Crock pot, right. Well, it's our crock pot over here. Correct, correct. All right, so we'll say, that's the heter of Kedera Chaisa. That's good, yes. Correct. So we'll talk, like I said, we're going to talk about exactly what a crock pot is. Is a crock pot considered to be a covered fire or an uncovered fire? If it's an uncovered fire, then what do you do for it? And essentially, in order to put a blech on it, we'll get into all that in Meretz Hashem. So now, if the first part of the conversation is really what we call the first part, so just to follow the progression over here. Right? So the first part of our conversation was nesina lechat, what we call nesina betchila, which means to place food on a fire on Shabbos. So that you can't do. Right? That was part of the conversation. That's part one of the conversation. That was the first part of last week's shiur. Then again, the second part of the conversation was what we call shehiya, which means putting food on an open flame erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. So we discussed essentially how that can be done, how it can't be done. So now, fast forwarding a little bit, now let's say it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos already. I have food that I want to put back onto the heat source. So how can I do that? So this conversation actually begins with a Gemara, with a Mishnah in number 2. So the Mishnah says something very interesting. The Mishnah says, Kirish Hisiku Bekash Begavava. So if you have a stove that you heat it again with straw. Now these types of straw are stubble. The difference with these type of heat sources is once you ignite them, they incinerate. So there's nothing to stoke. They produce heat and then they simply incinerate. So no, it's not a tafshil. So those type of heat sources, you could put food on top of it because there's no shemi yichata. There's nothing to stir. So nothing's going to happen. Right? Begefesu be'etzim lo yitin achi grof o achi tin esayfer. This is what we spoke about before. If you're using other types of heat sources, then halach lamaisa, you either have to do what? If you want to maintain food on that heat source going into Shabbos, either what? Either remove it or covered with a layer of ash. Beishame omrim chamin avalo tavshil, or beisila omrim chamin v'tavshil. Beishame omrim not avalo machzirin, or beisila omrim af machzirin. So beisila says something very interesting. So beisila says like this. Essentially, if you have a stove that is grufa o kituma, which again, for our purposes, means what? Either the heat source has been removed, or it's been covered, which we will translate, well, we will interpret to mean what? You have a blech. So then what can you do? You could return food to the fire on Shabbos. In other words, Beisham Beis Hillel says, you could return food to the blech on Shabbos. Okay, now the Gemara says, whoa, let's talk about this. How do you do that exactly? The Gemara says, Machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. Vaf Rav Oshia Savar. Af Machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia says, you're allowed to even return food to the covered fire on Shabbos itself. Then Rav Oshia, listen to this. Second line in number 3. Pam achas hayinu omdim le'ilo merabichiyo rabo. One time we were sitting by merabichiyo. Ve'alana lo kumus shel chamin midyuta tachtona diyuta aliona. And we brought, there was a kettle of water. And we brought him water, you know, from the lower story to the upper story. Umazagnu lo asakos. We poured him a cup of hot water. Ve'chzirunu l'mkomo. And then we brought back the kettle and we put it back on the stove, on the covered stove. V'lo amar lanu davar. And Rabbi Chiya didn't say anything to us. Now they interpreted the fact that Rabbi Chiya didn't say anything to us as what? It must have been okay. Okay, Amar Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Tadai. Lo shana ela sha'odan biyado. Now, again, let's talk about this. So now we'll say what you see over here is a fascinating halacha. They took the kettle with the hot water off the blech, off the covered fire. They poured a cup and then they put it back on the covered fire. And Rabbi Chiya did not say anything, which sounds like this practice is permitted. So now this is where everybody begins to chime in. So the Abba Sayyim B'Tadai, Lo Shon Elosh Odom Yado. So first of all, that's only assuming that they were still holding on to the kettle. Avali Nichan Al Gabi Karka Aser. But if they put the kettle down, once you put the kettle down, you can't return it back to the blach. So we'll say if you skip down a little bit. So first of all, that ultimately again they were holding on to it. Skip down a little bit. Good. Amr Chizkiyah Mishnei Dabai Hadamr Oda Biyado Mutar Lo Amr Elisha Daiton LaHachzir Aval In Daiton LaHachzir Aser. Furthermore, even if you're holding on to it, that's not enough. It's not enough just to hold on to it. Rather, what else do you have to have? Kavana. When you took it off, you have to have kavana that you're going to bring it back. Michlal dal gabi karko. So the Gemara goes with a couple of different opinions. But bottom line, what comes out from this Gemara is this concept that once you removed something from the blach, you have the ability to return it. But obviously, what the Gemara is saying is you have the ability to return it only if what? Only if you there has to be certain criteria. Now the Gemara discusses two of the criteria. One of the criteria is what we call odon biyado. You're still holding on to the utensil. And the other is daita lahachzir. You have intent when you took it off that you're going to put it back. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. So let's talk about this for just a moment. What exactly is the concern of returning food to the blach? In other words, let's say, for example, we're talking about a case where there's no issue of bishul. So I'll give you a simple example over here, right? I had chicken on Shabbos night. I put it in the refrigerator. Now Shabbos morning, I want to reheat it. Right, so let's assume for a moment that this is a fully cooked solid. So therefore, again, is there an issue of bishul? Is there an issue of bishul? No. Obviously, again, if there was a liquid and liquids cooled down, we know they're subject to bishul again. But if it's a fully cooked solid, so why can't I take it just from my refrigerator and put it on the blach? I understand. Am I allowed to put it directly on a flame? No, that's called Nesina Mechadosh, Nesina Mechila. Of course, you can't do that, right? That's Mechzikim Abashal. You definitely can't do that. Even if there's no technical bishul, you still can't do it. So what's wrong with me taking it from the refrigerator and putting it on the blech? What's the problem? See, interestingly enough, there's a machlokes over here between the Shaar HaTzion and Mishnah Berurah. So truth is actually a machlokes Rashi and Abinu Tam. So the Shaar HaTzion, it's at number 4, Shemi Yechata. It's still a concern that you may come to adjust the heat source. We're concerned that if you take that chicken from the refrigerator and put it directly on the blach, that you're going to go ahead and potentially manipulate the heat source. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Keshabal lachzira b'Shabbos d'mechsei kimevashal." The Mishnah Berurah says it has the appearance of cooking. Okay, so what exactly is the nafkamina between what's probably using shami chata mechsei kimevashal? We're not going to get into it right now, but the point is that's the concern over here. So now we'll say, so here's what we know. What I know is I can't just take food and put it back on the blech, right? There's some type of process that has to be in place in order to allow for this to occur. So the Gemara quotes two criteria. You have to still be holding onto the utensil and you have to have intention, you have to have had in mind to put it back. But in fact, if you take a look at number 6, they just quoted to you just from the Shabbos kitchen, great Sefer and Hilchos Shabbos. See, he outlines over here all 5. So I wanted to show you the 5. And then Emir Hashem will go through the halachic sources to see where each of these come from. So number 1. So take a look at source number 6. Number 1, garof o katum. The flame to which the food is being returned must be covered. So that we already know. So interestingly enough, that's considered to be criteria number 1, even though, of course, we know that already, right? Because you can never, on Shabbos, you can never put food onto an uncovered flame. So that we know already from the beginning, right? So criteria number 1 is the fire has to be covered. Number 2, Mavushal called sarcho. The food has to be fully cooked. Now we'll say, now what does fully cooked here mean? What does fully cooked mean? Fully cooked means fully cooked. Right? This is not Michael Ben Drusai. This is not Michael Ben Drusai. Now again, the truth is there is some level of subjectivity with this, right? Because some people eat meat rare. There's other halachic issues with that, like Avram and Achai, right? And like Darche and Mori, right? But I can't for the life of me understand that. But right, by the way, so again, obviously, what's interesting about this is the food does have to be fully cooked. So in other words, again, if a person normally eats their food, you know, medium rare, okay, so that might be fully cooked for them. But the Rabbi says, in other words, this is not a Michael Ben Drusai thing. So criteria number 1 is the fire has to be covered. Criteria number 2, the food has to be fully cooked. Number 3, Odo Cham. The food still has to be warm. So this is very important, which tells you, by the way, that the refrigerator case never gets off the ground, right? Because again, essentially, what are we talking about? Everyone say, what do these halachas help with? What does it help with? What scenario? Right, Friday night. That's really where these halachas come up, right? That, in other words, that again, I'm serving soup. Obviously, again, I'm not serving soup on the blech because you don't serve soup on the blech. I take the soup off the blech or whatever food I have on the blech. I take it off and then I want to put it back on. Well, I want to put it back on for tomorrow. I want to put it back on for later on, whatever it is. So again, criteria number three is the food still has to have some of its residual cooking warmth. So already we know, by the way, this is not going to help us at all for Shabbos morning. So how we reheat food Shabbos morning is going to have to be a separate shear. Right, we're going to have to figure that out. But because in order to put food directly back on the blech, the food still has to be warm. That's number three. Number four, odo biyado. The pot should not have been set down during the entire time it was off the blech. So now we'll have to see what this means. Does this mean like you're holding it like suspended? Or no, it just means that my hand is on the handle. We'll see. And number five, daito lahachzira. You have intention, or one's original intention when removing the pot was to return to the blech. So both sides. So this is very important. In other words, so I'll give you for an example. Let's say I'm serving the soup on Shabbos night, Friday night. Okay, the intention is going to have soup. And then you know what? This soup was delicious. I think I want to have some more later. So when I took this pot off the blech, my intention was, okay, we're going to serve it. And then that's it. The soup, and then we're going to move on to the main course. I'll put the and after we finish serving the soup, I'm going to put it back in the refrigerator. Then after I had a bowl of it, I was like, this is delicious. I think I want to have a little bit more later on. According to this approach, you cannot return that pot to the blech. Because since at the time that you took it off, your intention was what? To leave it off. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, you can't return it back to the blech. So again, these are the five criteria that allow you to return food to a blech on Shabbos. Let's define them a little bit more. And then, of course, what we're going to have to see is, obviously, you want all five lechatchila. The question is, bidi eved, can you return food to the blech even if you're missing some of them? Okay, so turn the page. Let's begin to go through them one by one. So first of all, criteria number one, number seven, the Shulchan Aruch says, kira shigrufa uketuma. Not al kedira me'alei afil b'shabes mutlach zira. So we'll say grufa ketuma is our code word for blech. So that's criteria number one, right? Anytime you talk about returning food to a fire on Shabbos, the only way to return food to a fire is if it is a covered fire. And we'll say this is going to be very important because, for example, we have to talk about what a crock pot is. We also have to talk about what a hot plate is. Is a hot plate considered to be a covered fire or an uncovered fire? So again, we'll discuss this. But aloch lemaisa, there is no chazara. There is no returning food to a hisras unless, of course, it's covered. So that's criteria number one. Number two. I'm sorry? No, so ovens you can't use at all. There is never any returning into an oven on Shabbos. Well, not on Yontif now. Shabbos, because the issue is that an oven is always mechseh kimavashal. It always has the appearance of cooking. Whenever you insert something into an enclosure, it has the appearance of cooking. So this is going to be the big discussion with warming drawers also. So warming drawers we're going to see because warming drawers, on one hand, a warming drawer is not made to cook, right? So therefore, perhaps that allows you to return it. The problem with a warming drawer is its resemblance to an oven. So again, we're going to talk about that as well. Okay, so look at number eight. So next, Hagad, so the Rama says, the dafka shatam shom avushal kol tarchos. The Rama says it. So by the way, now criteria number one is that the flame has to be covered. Criteria number two is that the food is fully cooked. The az mutar lahachzir, then you could return it. Vafilu lekira acheras. So I both say, we're going to see this halacha, which is actually a really interesting halacha. I'll give you an example. Let's say for argument's sake, let's assume for a moment that a hot plate, a non-adjustable hot plate, is considered to be like a covered fire. Let's make that assumption for just a moment. Imagine the following scenario, right? You went ahead, and we'll talk about this more in depth. You took your soup off, and again, my fire was covered, the soup was fully cooked, that's all the criteria, and now what happens? I have a power outage. Can I bring my pot of soup to my neighbor's blech? So the halacha is that it's mutter. In other words, as long as you're in conformance with the criteria, ultimately, again, you could even return the food to someone, to another covered fire. In other words, the food need not go back to the same fire, covered fire that it came from. It could go back to another covered fire. Again, we'll get into more of those cases in just a little bit. That's the Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Rambam says over here. Vafilu lekira acheres. That's what he's referring to over here. That you can even take this food, right? Even take this pot of food and return it to another covered fire. Okay. Suppose this, so we've got number one, the fire has to be covered. Number two, the food has to be fully cooked. Number three, which is source number nine, umiyu im nitztanein l'kuli alma asar. Criteria number three is odo cham. It still has to be warm. And I will say, now here's what's interesting about this criteria. If you notice, by the way, it doesn't have to be hot. It doesn't have to be hot. It does not have to be yat soled despo. It just has to be, still be warm. Or to say a little bit differently, it must still contain or be maintaining some level of its initial residual cooking heat. Now, this opens the Rabbos side. Let's take a step back, right? What's happening over here, right? What is it about these five criteria that allows me to put my food back on the blech? So essentially, we'll say what happens is if you have these five criteria, the food, the pot, is still considered to be tethered to the blech. That's what's happening over here. Satisfy these five criteria, and the food is tethered to the blech. And therefore, again, it's almost as if there's like, if you can imagine, like we'll have like a bungee cord. It's like a bungee cord attaching your food to the blech. So five criteria there, it springs back onto the blech. So what's interesting to note is, if as long as the food maintains, in other words, part of maintaining that tethering of the pot to the blech is that it's still warm. Because as long as it's still warm, that means the original cooking, the original heat is still there. That keeps it connected to the blech. The moment that it's no longer warm is the moment that that relationship between the pot and the blech has been severed. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah explains this. That's why I will say again, I don't need the food to be hot. I don't need it to be hot. I just need it to be even lukewarm, just maintaining some level of the initial and residual heat. He says, again, we'll say, that's what Mishnah Berurah says, but one second, who cares if it's still warm? In other words, let's say this is a solid food and it's fully cooked, so it's not subject to bishul. The Mishnah Berurah says it still has to be warm. Why? Gam kinazer, the chevan shekvarnit, standing here it is, batla hashehiya harishona, vahavi kinosin ata mechadash besol chatan lezeh asr b'chol gavni. So it's very interesting. These five criteria essentially, again, create this connection between the pot and the blech. The moment the pot is no longer warm and has no more of its residual cooking heat, putting it back on the blech is like what? Like what? Putting it back on for the first time. Chazara only works when the return of the pot to the blech is looked at as a continuation of the original placement on the blech. The only way it's looked at, so when you satisfy these five criteria, then we view the return as the continuity, the continuation of the original placement. But the moment, and it makes sense therefore, so therefore if it no longer retains its residual heat, then it can be looked at as a continuation of the original placement on the blech, because it no longer has any of its original cooking heat. Good. So that's number three. So we'll say, so keep the tally, right? So far, number one, the fire is fully covered. Fire is covered. Number two, fully cooked. Number three, still warm. But again, I want to point out, still warm really means any amount of residual heat. So essentially, pretty much, as long as it's a little bit above room temperature, right? Just some amount of residual heat, that is good enough. Next, number 11, Hagad Rama says, va'oda biyado. You still, right, the pot has to be in your hand. Pot has to be in your hand, yes. So,
and understanding oda biyado, is that a function of intent?
Oh, so let's see.
Back, or is it because if you put it down, it's going to...
So let's analyze. So take a look at number 12. Mishnah Berurah says, so what? Why is it that I need the pot to be in my hand? So right, so via Rotsa Lomar, Shalo Hesir Hakidera, source number 12, Shalo Hesir Hakidera Miyado, Meis Netilasa Minakira, Ad Shosh Yachsirena. So the idea over here is I've never released my grip on the pot from the time that I took it off the blech until the time that I put it back. Ula Fuke.
Okay, so
The batla la hashia rishona. So again, all of these things follow the same theme. In order to return a pot to the black, what do you have to do? You have to make sure that essentially that pot never left the black. You have to maintain a continuity in the connection between the pot and the black. So therefore, again, the same hands that, so to speak, put it on the black, now took it off the black. And as long as I keep holding on to it, that act of holding on to it creates that bungee cord, right? That tethering back to the black. The moment you take your hands off is the moment that the connection between the pot and the blech is severed. Same way that when the pot loses its heat, right, the connection is severed. You take your hands off, it's severed as well. Yes, Paul?
Does it have to be the same person who put it originally?
That's an interesting question, right? In other words, can you do like a little relay, pass the baton? I'm exhausted. I've been holding this for 2 hours, right? Somebody else take it back. I don't know. That's a good question. Right. I guess if you could do a different blech, then you could do a different person. Yeah. The idea is, I think, that the pot is held lav dafka nasi by the same person. I think. I'm sorry? Well, it's the same way. Like I said, but it's the same way. Like, for example, I could put it on a different fire. So why? Because it's not necessarily that the pot is connected to this blech. The pot is connected to a covered fire. So maybe it's the same idea, that there just has to be a constant awareness that this blech is going back. This blech is connected. So maybe as long as there is human interaction with the pot, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Yes?
Isn't it like moksa? Didn't we say about moksa that once someone's able to move moksa, they can give it to someone else to move it to, that they're able to move it as well?
Say it again?
Did we say that in Spiegel Sabra? If not, I should give my certificate back.
I gave you that certificate? That was on table for show. Say it again. That by moksa.
By moksa, that if you're able to move moksa, that once you're able to move moksa, you can give like.
Yeah, you give it.
Take it somewhere where you're not able to put it on the top of.
Right, just give it to someone else. Yeah, so you want to apply that to this case also. In other words, once I'm involved in doing it, getting someone else, maybe. Yeah.
Or is there like actual das?
I don't know. That's a good question. Can you have a child just step in there? I don't know. I didn't think about these cases. I always assume that it's just one person. But it's okay. Sarachi and
it's just one person.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Get Zoe to do it?
Oh, you're putting Zoe in the pot? Or Zoe's holding the pot? I mean, if there are more humane ways to put her down. I'm just telling you. Don't do that. I'll drink field. Got it. Yeah. Yeah, Zoe should be nowhere near the pot. Right. So her Oneg Shabbos should come in different ways. Let me think about the other people's interactions over here. Okay. So let's say, but go back to number 12 for just a moment. So the idea over here, yes, this is one. Right, so this is important. This is not suspended. The idea is the pot could be at rest, but the idea is I'm holding on. So again, what this means in a very interesting way is, and again, this comes up all the time, right? So in other words, I'm taking my soup off the blech, and again, my intention is I want to put it back. So again, fire's covered, it's fully cooked, it's still warm, but this idea that I do need to have a hand on the handle of the pot as I'm ladling it out. And again, it's important because once you understand the logic of all of this, it all fits together very beautifully. What I'm trying to establish is an unbreakable bond and a tethering between the pot and the blech. I want it to be almost as if, you could return the pot to the blech as in a situation when you make it halachically as if the pot never left. Right? So one of the ways in which I ensure that the pot never left is I'm still holding onto it. By keeping holding onto it, it's as if like it's not really off. It's still on the same hands that took it off. I'm going to put it back on as well. But he says over here, still in source number 12, the third line in the Kuli. I'm at the Batlei Shiri Shono for Shuv Kishem Machshom Anicha Gabe Akira Havale Kimosh Lechatchila. But if you go ahead and you let go of the pot, then when you return it back, because you've let go, it's as if it's being placed there for the first time. And obviously, placing it on the fire for the first time, even a covered fire for the first time on Shabbos, is going to be aser. Now it's interesting, if you take a look at number 13, So Mrs. Ryan Zabar Shakivant, Rav Moshe asked the same kasha number 13. He says, "Hiniach chidya gavi karka v'adainu ochiz ba bebeisyada imoto lachzira." So Rav Moshe essentially is bothered by the same question. Does oda biyado mean like you're holding it up? Or oda biyado means just it's at rest, even on the floor. Now the reason he brings down the floor, I will say, is because the floor is even worse than the counter, right? Because the counter, at least again, the counter is still connected to the blech, so to speak, in some way. Putting something on the floor really looks like your intention is, I'm done with this item. So the Moshe asks, like in the most dramatic way, what if you put the pot on the floor, but your hand is still on it? Does that satisfy the criteria of Oda B'Yado? So the Moshe writes, second paragraph for number 13. Yesh lahakel midematik baloshen enicha velo baloshen haamida haamida gabi karka masha sheenicha mamish lavada velo achaz boklal. So Moshe says, no, you don't have to hold it up. In other words, wherever the pot is, the pot could be at rest. It doesn't matter if the pot's on the counter, the pot's on the floor. The ikar is that you're holding onto it. That's the idea. So that's criteria number 4. And we finally come to criteria number 5, which is source number 14. V'daito lahachzira. At the time that you take it off, your intention is to return it back to the blech. That's my intention. Look at the Mishnah Berurah number 15. V'daita lachzira. Hatam gam ken kinis kaleel. Sha'al yidezeh lo batla adayin hashir rishon. As well as I say, so remember, all of this is the same logic. The idea is that when I have das, when I have intention to go ahead and return it, since my kavana, that tethers, that keeps the pot tethered to the blech. And therefore, when I take it off, it's as if it never left, and like it bungees back when I satisfy all of these criteria. If you satisfy these criteria, so in other words, if you have das, you have intention to go ahead and return it back, so it's considered to be a continuation. When you return, it's considered to be a continuation of its original placement on the blach. He says, "Al akir mi ba'odyom keva shayadai to lachzir ach lo titztanein." Aval, look what he writes. Aval, the second line towards the end of the line. Aval and betchila kishanat la lohaya daito laze. Lohaya daito laze. V'shuv nimach lahachzir tekef aser. But again, the Mishnah Berurah says, if when you took it off, your intention was not to return it. So we'll say, I think this is like coming in like in a soup scenario. Right? I take the soup off because I'm going to serve it. And my assumption is this soup. Then we're going to done with the soup. And then I'm moving on to the rest of the meal. But the soup was so delicious. I may want to have more later. So when I took it off the blech, I did not have intention to go ahead and return it. Now afterwards, I changed my mind. And Mishnah Berurah says, you can't return that to the blech. Aser, af shalaniach agavi karka bein saim. Even though, again, I've satisfied the other 4 criteria, right? And I haven't put it down, I'm still holding on to it. Nevertheless, tahavalei kemoshiv lechatchil b'shabbos. Remember, the idea over here is, if you're not satisfying the criteria, then you've cut the cord between, you've cut right the connection between the pot and the blech, and therefore the act of putting it back on the blech is the equivalent of putting it on there for the first time on Shabbos, which is aser. He goes on, he says, So we're going to do these 2 lines in just a second. So now we understand, right? So in order to go ahead and return food to the fire on Shabbos, 5 criteria must be in place. Number 1, the fire is covered. Number 2, the food is fully cooked. And I will say, now those 2, right, the fire covered, food fully cooked, because remember again, you can never return food to a fire, open up fire on Shabbos. Food fully cooked, because if the food is not fully cooked, then there's an issue of bishul, there's an issue of actual cooking. So those are like pashut, that's obvious. Number 3, the food must still be warm. Now remember, essentially criteria 3, 4, and 5 are all in place to maintain a tethering between the pot and the blech. They make it as if the pot never left the blech, and therefore the return of it to the blech is considered to be a continuation of that original placement. So criteria number 3 is that the food is still warm. Because it still has some of its residual cooking heat, therefore Allah says it's like as if it never left. Number 4, Oda B'Yado, I'm holding on to it. As Ramosha said, you don't have to be holding it up. Right? It doesn't need to be suspended, but at the end of the day, again, I have a hand on it. And number 4, Daito Lahachzir. Number 5, Daito Lahachzir. My intention when I took it off, ultimately, again, is to put it back on. They both said, of course, now, in an ideal sense, you need all five of these criteria. All five of these criteria. Now, if you look at number, now let's go back to the end of number 15. This is a very, very, very important Ber Halacha. So the Ber Halacha says as follows. He says, well, the Mishabura calls the Ber Halacha. Last two lines. V'ayin Ber Halacha, Shevanu, Harim Erishonim, Shemakilin Ba'odin B'yado, Afilo Ein Daito Lahachzir. So there's a school of poskim that say that as long as you have four out of the five, even if you're missing Dait Lazar, even if you're missing number five, right? If you're missing number five, you can still do Chazara, right? Essentially, I will say, what they're focused on are the actionable parts of Chazara, right? Covered fire, and again, everyone agrees, of course, you always need covered fire, you always need fully cooked, you always need still warm, right? Those are the indisputable ones. There's a school of thought that says, you know what, as long as you still have your hand on the pot, even if you didn't have Kavana when you took it off, that you're gonna put it back on, you're fine. Furthermore, v'chein makilin b'daito lahachzir, af shebein saim has zira miyado, v'nir shebein satar ha'ishas b'chazeh. There are also other poskim who say that halacha l'maisa, that if you didn't have kavana to put it back, so essentially there are some poskim who say that are mekel, that if you didn't have, that if you let go of the pot, but the other criteria are in effect, you could return it. And then there's another school of thought that says that if you didn't have das to return it, you could still return it as well. So what this translates into us practically, I will say, is that in order to do chazara, you most definitely need three, right? What are the three you need? Covered fire, fully cooked, and still warm, right? So grufa ktuma, buvushal kol tzarecho, odo cham. Those you need. It turns out that bidi eved, if you're missing four and five, you can still do chazara. Right, not ideal, but b'di'eved, if you took the pot off the flame and you let go of it, I will say, by the way, this happens all the time also because a lot of times also, if you think about it, like when you're, especially like with soup, right, the balancing act between holding onto it and ladling out is not always so poshut, so people often just inadvertently even let go. So it's just good to know that b'di'eved, even if you let go, and even if halacha l'maisa, you didn't have das to return it, halacha l'maisa, again, you're still fine. So again, ideally, you want all five. B'di'eved, 1 through 3, indispensable. 4 and 5, if you don't have it, b'di'eved could still do chazar. Now, what's the say? Yes.
So b'di'eved meaning I put it back and now I want to eat it? Or b'di'eved like, oh, I let go of it and I didn't have things, but somebody wants some later, so...
B'di'eved essentially means is that if you want it, you need it, you could do it. You could do it. B'di'eved doesn't have to mean like you have some, like this is the only food that I have. B'di'eved just means, you know, again, not ideal, but if you need it, and need is defined very loosely as you want it or somebody else is going to want it. I'm sorry?
Onik Shabbos,
yeah, again, somebody's going to want it later on. That Allah says again, because you have, what's interesting about this is, it's two kulas that are being combined together. In other words, there is no one who says that you could dispense with 4 and 5, right? What's interesting is, there's a school of thought that says, b'di'eved, you could dispense with 4. And there's a school of thought that says that b'di'eved, you could dispense with 5. The Ber Halacha says that what that means for us is that b'di'eved, if you don't have 4, odam b'yado, you don't have 5, da'ita l'hachzir, b'di'eved, you could still do chazara. And I will say that is important to know because Halacha l'maisa, it's going to sound strange, one could rely on that bidi ever lechatchila. I know that didn't quite. In other words, you could use that again. Not ideal. But bidi ever, one could go ahead and definitely rely on that. And like I said, I don't think one doesn't need a compelling reason in order to do that. Onik Shabbos is always the catch-all, right? Onik Shabbos. Right? It's Onik Shabbos. I'm going to want it for later on. Then halacha myself. Rabbi say, shkoyach stop for tonight. Yes. Oh, so Shabbos morning is next year. Shabbos morning is next year because, again, that's, you do have to come back. I know how to leave you on a cliffhanger. I give you just enough information not to be Michal Shabbos, but not enough to be fully self-sufficient. I'm keeping you halachically dependent. You're correct. Not Michal Friday night. So now you know you're safe Friday night. Shabbos day, you're still in big trouble, right? So we're going to see. But one thing is clear. One thing is clear, which is what you do see is that on Shabbos morning, what becomes abundantly clear? You can't put stuff right back on the blech. Right? That's clear. So how you warm up on Shabbos day, then I'm here to next week. Shach, I don't know if there's a minion who needs Myriv.
Sounds like everybody knows.